Today's tshuva will be a tshuva by Rav Kook dealing with the halachos of a future Jewish state. The background to this letter, to this tshuva, is a letter from Rav Kook to a rabbi by the name of Shlomo Zalman Pinas. Rav Yitzchak Cohen Kook, born 1865, died 1935, was a chief Ashkenazi rabbi of Eretz Yisrael before the creation of the State of Israel, and he was an immensely influential figure in religious Zionism. Rav Shlomo Zalman Pinas was born in 1874, died in 1954. He was a Torah scholar who was born in Minsk. With the outbreak of the First World War, he emigrated to Zurich, Switzerland. He wrote Svarim, delivered Shiurim, and spread Jewish values to the Jews of Zurich while he supported himself through business. He was in contact with many great rabbinic leaders, Rav Chaim Brisker, Rav Chaim Moser Grzinski, Rav Aaron Cutler, Rav Chil Yaakov Weinberg, among others. Now, Rav Kook moved to Eretz Yisrael from Europe in 1904, but he visited Germany for an Agudas Yisrael convention with the hope of convincing the leaders to take a more positive stance in regard to the Zionist movement. When World War I broke out, he could not get back to Eretz Yisrael. He escaped to Switzerland and lived there for a year and eventually ended up in England from 1915 to 1918. So in 1915, Rav Shlomo Zalman, who was living in Zurich, met Rav Kook in Switzerland, and they developed a strong relationship. And after the war, Rav Shlomo Zalman joined Rav Kook's short-lived Degel Yerushalayim political party, and he was a major supporter of Rav Kook, spreading his ideas and fundraising for his activities. And he wrote a number of letters to Rav Kook about contemporary issues, and we're going to study one such letter, which is very significant, as we will soon see. The tshuva is dated Tough, this is Shut Mishpat Kohen, Inyanei Eretz Yisrael, Simon Kuf Mem Gimel. It's dated Kislev, Tough Resh Ayin Vav, so that's 1916. And this tshuva addresses the legitimacy of, or the legitimate authority for waging war. And this tshuva of Kuk writes, Elin Hatzos Klal Yisrael, with regard to saving Klal Yisrael, Kvarka Sati Lila, I already wrote above, Dilafinius Daiti Mitama Rasha Lamigdar Milsa Nagaba. So you might think it's based on Horasha, Migdar Milsa, some kind of temporary matter, some kind of fence. That's why you're allowed to engage in war. But Rav Kook thinks no. He thinks Ela Shehu Devar Pashut Kokach Shein Tzarech Beisin Alzeh. You don't need a basin to legitimize waging war. And he writes, Milchemes mitzvah lefines datil ein lamon klal. You can't learn based on the halachic principle of milchemes mitzvah that you're allowed to wage war, because the al korchach inyanei klal de milchemes yotzim hei mechlal zed devachai b'hem. If you want to say, okay, you're allowed to wage war because of the pasuk of V'chai Behem, to save lives, that's not a good proof to tell you that countries are allowed to engage in war. Shirei gam melchemes reshus muterasi. A country is even allowed to engage in a melchemes reshus. What's a melchemes reshus? Melchemes reshus is bishvil harvacha. It's simply for profit, to increase your land. That sometimes countries enter into wars not necessarily because of a pikuach nefesh standpoint. So Rav Kook is asking, so how are you allowed to put your life into danger? How can you put your life on the line just for profit or property? What's the paradigm to allow, number one, killing others and putting our life on the line for increase in property? So Rav Kook says, "De milchama vehilchos tzibur shaini." Milchama and hilchos tzibur operate under different rules. The question, of course, is what's the basis for this? So what's the source of the law for how to operate milchama, how to operate hilchos tzibur? If you're saying that the halachos of a tzibur is different than the halachos of a yachid, an individual, so what's the source for this, and what are the parameters of these halachos? Do you follow Tanakh? Do you translate the kingship of the Torah into democratic rules? Do you have a high court of justice? Maybe you do what the other nations do. Like, what is that? What do Hilchos Malachim look like? So Rav Kook suggests that maybe Ulayhu Michlal Mishpati Hamalucha, maybe it's based on the laws of the king. The Rambam has a lot of laws that the king has associated with him. So maybe that's the basis for it. There's a halacha in Mishpat HaMelucha that you're only allowed to kill, that the king, for example, is only allowed to kill Besayev by sword, that the king may not appropriate property. The property of those killed for capital crimes goes to the king. So this is always called Mishpate Melucha. Maybe this is a basis for Hilchos Tzibur. This is not part of Hilchos Yachid. And Rav Kook writes something very fascinating in his tshuva. He says, "B'malkom acher biarti." Another place I explain, "Shigam eila yesh lahem makor b'Torah." That even when it comes to mishpatei hamalucha, the laws of the king, they have a source in the Torah. "Ela shadarche hadrasha bazeh nimsu l'kol melech kivinas harchava." Who can establish what the laws of the king are? The king himself. He can make drashos according to the psukim in the Torah. It's very unusual. Say the king can make his own drashas about what Mishpat HaMelech is. That's why, for example, Rav Kook writes, that's why a king needs a second Sefer Torah. You have one Sefer Torah which is Shayach L'chol Ben Yisrael, for all Jews. And then there's another Sefer Torah which deals with specific laws of what the king can do. And there's a tension between these two Sifrei Torah. There's Sifrei Torah like the halachos that we're used to for each and every Jew, and then there's something called for Mishpat HaMelech. Now, and essentially what Rav Kook writes in this tshuva is that there is different halachic language in dealing with the country. And he writes that the obligation for an individual to put himself in danger for the tzibor, so maybe that's based on Migdar Milsa and Horasha. And he says, "V'hine im nomar shel nilmod atzos klal Yisrael me'Esther v'yal." So maybe we can learn also as a basis for this notion of saving klal Yisrael from Esther and Yal. The Esther and Yal were individuals who committed cardinal sins to save Klal Yisrael. Again, it's not the same as what Rav Kook is speaking about. Rav Kook is speaking about something called the Tzibur, the halachos of the Tzibur. Esther and Yael were individuals who engaged in behavior, but maybe you can learn from them, he says. Maybe you can learn. He says, when it came to Esther and Yael, the reason why they were allowed to engage in their behavior, engage in Gilu Arayos, that's because of Migdar Milsa or in Horah Shah. But maybe you can use that as a basis for the halachas of Klal Yisrael. He uses the story of Esther to try to find sources for this notion of Hilchos Tzibur. He argues that Gilui Arayos and Shvichos Damim, which are normally forbidden, right? Those are three cardinal sins. Those are two of the three cardinal sins that you're not allowed to engage in, even to save a life. He says, maybe those are allowed, lemigdar mils to horasha, for an individual can engage in gilui arayos and shvichos damim if it involves saving all of Klal Yisrael. He calls that an avera lishma. This is based on, the Maharik discusses this. He argues that avodah zarah will never be permitted. But maybe gilui arayos, maybe shvichos damim for atzolos Klal Yisrael for an individual might be permitted. And he says, maybe you can use this as some kind of paradigm to learn the halachos, Hilchos Tzibur, maybe from this as well. What's fascinating, again, in this tshuva, where he's searching for a source, paradigm, parameters for Hilchos Tzibur, he says, in general, there is this concept. But he's essentially stating that there is something called Hilchos Yachid, there's something called Hilchos Tzibur. There's a lot more leeway, and there's probably a lot more subjectivity, and it's not so clear exactly what the models and what that we use in order to learn Hilchos Tzibur. And what's fascinating is Rav Kook's approach is very different than, let's say, the approach of Rav Aaron Lichtenstein. Rav Aaron Lichtenstein wrote an essay called, this is something that I heard Rav Yuval Shurlo made this point. He said that Rav Aaron Lichtenstein, in his essay on the ideology of Hester, so Rav Lichtenstein argues that the rationale for serving the army is based on what? Gemilus Chasadim. Rav Lichtenstein writes that the rationale for Hester rests upon the simple need of physical survival and the fact that military service is often the fullest manifestation of a far broader value, Gemilus Chasadim, the empathetic concern for others and action on their behalf. This element, defined by Chazal as one of the three cardinal foundations of the world, is the base of Jewish social ethics, and its realization, even at some cost, to the single-minded development of Torah scholarship. Essentially, for Rav Lichtenstein, the ideology of serving in the army is not based on some separate Hilchos Klal Yisrael. It's based on Gemilus Chesed. What's significant about this tshuva of Simon Kuf Mem Gimel in Shut Mishpat Kohen is that this is the first tshuva that speaks of Hilchos Medina. Again, this is before there was a Jewish state. But it's not based on Hilchos Yachid. It's something about Halachos of the Tzibur, which involves saving all of Klal Yisrael. And in effect, then, we have three different categories of Halachos. We have Hilchos Yachid, Halachos that devolve upon each and every individual. There's a second category called Hilchos Shutfim, or Hilchos Kehila. There's a third category called Hilchos Klal Yisrael. The definition of Klal Yisrael is not clear. The laws are not clear. The source of this law are not clear. Because when there was the development of Torah Shebaal Peh and the Mishnah and the Gemara, this took place at a time when we were not a nation with a land and an army. Nevertheless, this teshuvah had a big impact on future halachic decisions relating to what a Jewish state should look like. And God willing, in our next session, we will study another tshuva that further develops this idea regarding the halachic status of a Jewish state that is premised on the halachic idea that Rav Kook set forth in this teshuvah.